It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And good morning to Wes and Cecil.
Good morning, Lockwood. How are you?
Fine.
Lockwood, good.
All right, I'm curious, what's on tap today?
Well, Lockwood, I think we're going to talk about and kind of invite listeners to call in with any questions concerning foreclosures. And, of course, foreclosures have, that's a classic area of the law where there are definitely two sides to the story.
Mm-hmm.
It depends completely on who we're representing. Are we representing the lender, the bank, the mortgage holder, their rights, responsibilities under the law as they attempt to collect their note? Or are we representing the homeowner, if you will, the person who has signed the mortgage, the debtor? And of course, there is a whole body of law that protects the rights of the debtor. And so, you know, foreclosure law basically is an area of the law under the category of debtor and creditor law.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when it's secured by real property, then, of course, we bring into fold the foreclosure statutes. And so we thought we would kind of talk about that for today.
How active have foreclosures? There was a period of time when it was nationally, at least. I can't address locally, but I would assume the local community represented that national trend. The foreclosure rate was exorbitantly high. Has it,
I would say, yeah, there's definitely good news as far as the economy goes with regard to foreclosures. I mean, we certainly have seen that, the rate of foreclosures has decreased. There's still a fairly significant amount of foreclosures that are proceeding forward. However, compare that back to 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, it's a lot less. A lot of those troubled loans and individuals that got in trouble, maybe with their cash flow, their income as a result of their job and their personal situation. Mm-hmm. A lot of those things have worked their way through the system.
Also, Lockwood, we're generally falling back into the traditional kinds of issues that arise in a foreclosure. Back during this rush of activity that you were talking about 5, 6, 7 years ago, we were seeing things where, the mortgage, the deed of trust described a condominium in a different county.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It was the foreclosure of a lot and block in a certain subdivision, and next thing you know, the description, had no rational reason to the property. Description. Well, the banks were lenders, unfortunately, were doing their own mortgages in-house,
yeah.
And they were not being prepared by either title companies or lawyers securing title insurance. And as a result of that, anything and everything went. And so all sorts of errors were present in the deeds of trust. And I would say most of that has kind of fallen through, the sifter now. And we're back to some degree of normality in terms of the issues that we see.
Well, I would say, with regard to these issues, these problems, these mistakes, in the actual loan closing themselves, whether it be a legal description issue or any other legal issue.
One of those issues where they were called liar's loans. People were able to just describe their income and their capital strength based on just their word only.
The no-doc loans.
Right.
I mean, all that stuff. That was just a push to loan the money because it was lucrative to do that. But nevertheless, you don't notice those type of things until you foreclose. And then when you foreclose, all the problems then kind of rise to the top. So, we have seen over the past 5, 6 years, a lot of problems in loans that we've dealt with in a foreclosure context, whether we're representing a bank or whether we're representing an individual. But I think that, this period of going through the foreclosures and the banks recognizing, although this loan looks good on the front end, we don't know what it's going to be like in 5, 10 years, and we may have to foreclose on it at some point in time. I think it's required all lenders to clean up their act and to be more diligent, more just more specific and more detailed with regard to their documentation and the loan closing themselves.
Lockwood, an interesting factor for you and all our listeners to know is that many times folks will say, well, let me just deed the property back to the lender.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just do a deed in lieu of foreclosure, as it's known. Or I don't really want the property anymore anyway. I'm just going to abandon this property. I got myself in a deep hole. And, of course, when we go to talk to the lender about those kinds of issues, what we have to remember, Lockwood, is that, you know, there can be other types of liens on the property. Maybe there are liens from contractors that were not paid for building the house, liens from the homeowners association, all sorts of other liens. You know, we were running into these problems. You had these gated communities that had, you know, tremendous activity all of a sudden, okay? Yeah. You know, homeowner, you know, gates, pools, tennis courts, all of this, new construction. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the whole development, you know, the economy changed. Well, in a foreclosure, Lockwood, if the foreclosure goes to a trustee's deed, which is ultimately the end of the foreclosure, then all liens on the property, all liens are extinguished, not just the lien of the lender.
Hmm.
And so this is a way in which public policy, you know, we clear the title to property and we start anew. Now, those folks that have other liens, the contractor, the homeowners association, the government, the IRS, all of those folks, they have to have notice of the foreclosure because they have the right to come in and protect their lien and maybe buy the property themselves at the courthouse steps. But if they don't do that, then their liens, as well as the lien of the lender, are extinguished. And this is a lot of folks don't know this little tidbit of the law, and it's very interesting the way it works. And then now this lot, block, subdivision, this house is completely clear now because it has gone through the full procedure of a foreclosure.
You've caught my attention there. Pardon the interruption here on this. You said government. So, in other words, I have a lien on the property as a result of failure to pay income taxes or some other government commitment. Mm-hmm. Let's use income taxes.
Sure.
Does that mean that that goes away possibly as well? The lender in that case, does it just transfer to me in some other fashion?
Well, as far as the taxes go, I mean, you do have to look at the notice of sale. The notice of sale is going to indicate what you're buying the property subject to.
Okay.
And there's, you know, we can kind of walk through the process and give the listeners a roadmap of the documents that you'll see and the things that will transpire as you start with, you know, the hearing and then go to the notice of sale and then the final closing. We can do that and walk through that. But one of the important documents is that notice of sale. That's going to indicate with clarity and specificity what you're purchasing the property subject to. And if it accepts out taxes, then there may certainly be taxes that are due on the property that you need to recognize that, you know, that's something that you're buying the property subject to.
Okay.
But if you have like another bank loan that's junior to you, meaning behind you, mm-hmm. if you're the foreclosing party, or you have, you know, homeowners association liens, or you have
contractor
liens, you have judgments, you have anything that is junior, you know, to the foreclosing deed of trust or lien on the property, then those are going to be wiped clean of the title. So when we look at this possibility of conveying the property back to the lender so you don't foreclose on me, mm-hmm. that's called a deed in lieu of foreclosure. You're limited in being able to exercise that option in the event that there are other liens on the property, because, you know, the bank is going to then take the property back, you know, subject to those particular liens, and they don't want that.
Right.
You know?
No, they don't.
So what they have to do is sometimes they're just forced to foreclose to claim the title, because then what do they want to do? The bank wants to then take the property back, or maybe sell it to a third party, high bidder. But if they take it back, what do they then do with it? They don't hold it on their books. They put a sign in the yard and try to sell it. So they want to sell it free and clear.
All right. Yep. We're talking, Let's Talk Legal with Harbell and Collins. By the way, if you've got a question about this, welcome to call in 800-818-2255, 910 area code, by the way, 353-4674, 252 area code, 247-7282. Harbell and Collins, we're talking about, liens and foreclosure. We're talking, liens and foreclosures this morning with, Cecil Harbell and Wes Collins of, Harbell and Collins. I'll give you the details. By the way, you can call their offices, and I'll share that with you as well in a few minutes. But first, if you'd like to make a call into the studio, you're welcome to do so. 800-818-2255, 910 area code 353-4674, and 252 area code 247-7282.
So again, Lockwood, you know, like so much of what Wes and myself do and all good lawyers is, you know, analyze facts. The facts just make all the difference in the world. Now, the cases I was speaking to you earlier about, as I said, most of those have kind of fallen through the sieve now. We're back into some semblance of normality. But historically, those were a lot of cases like that that we saw where not only was there the lien by the mortgage holder, but there were other liens on the property, most usually homeowners association, or where the contractors didn't get paid on the house that was constructed, all of those kinds of things. And of course, Wes and I now have generally talked about the fact that that's why in those cases, with those facts, the borrower was not able to really negotiate a deed in lieu of foreclosure. But in a cleaner file, where really, truly, the only lien on the property is the lien by the borrower to the bank, okay, that all other aspects of the property are clear. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's an older house that's been on the property for a long time. There's no new construction. It's not located in a homeowners association. Maybe all of those things. It just depends on the facts. Then, yes, we can talk to the lender about a deed in lieu of foreclosure. Maybe there's been just a death in the family, mm-hmm. and the primary income provider is no longer there. The note was current for many, many, many years, and now all of a sudden, due to a change of circumstances in the family, there is now a potential default on the note. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of cases where maybe we can talk to the lender about a deed in lieu of foreclosure. And you asked the question during the break, you know, is that good for the debtor? Well, yes, it is, because if they can negotiate with the bank and do a deed in lieu of foreclosure, then that will help to not, negatively affect their credit rating.
Okay. How does this compare with a short sale?
Mm-hmm. Well, a short sale would be a situation where, let's say that, you know, you owe $200,000 on the property,
right?
For example. But you can't get an offer on the property for enough to pay off that $200,000 mm-hmm. because of the value of the property has gone down. I mean, presumably we would think that the property was worth more than that when you got the $200,000 right. loan. Otherwise, it wouldn't appraise out, you know, to support a loan like that. So let's say that your high offer that you get is $160,000,
mm-hmm.
okay, and that's all you've got. Well, then you're going to have to go through the short sale process with the bank to see if they'll approve a sale at $160,000 to allow that buyer to get good title for a purchase price of $160,000. Because certainly, you know, the buyer doesn't want to buy the property with a mortgage on it. He wants free and clear title. So you go through the lender's process, and they look at, you know, the details with regard to the transaction. They look at, you know, how long the property's been marketed. They look at, you know, what they believe the value of the appraised value of the property, you know, would be. They analyze that and make a determination as to whether they will approve that sale at $160,000 or not. So that's your short sale. Your deed in lieu is just a situation where maybe you feel as though you're not going to be able to keep up with the payments.
Gotcha.
There's a circumstance, whether you've lost your job or whether there, like Cecil said, there's a death or whatever it ends up being. So as opposed to just stopping, you know, your payments lock, stock, and barrel, we contact the lender and try to negotiate a deed in lieu, which is simply signing a deed back to the bank for them to take the property back in consideration for the indebtedness. But if you do that prior to a default, then you're in a situation where there's not a negative credit report.
Okay.
Okay. But, and if you do that after a default, but before a foreclosure, then you've mitigated to a certain degree or minimized the negative credit reporting on your credit. Because the banks have an obligation to make these credit reports. They can't just mm-hmm. report whatever they want to. They have to do it accurately. If there's a default, then they have to report that. But if there hasn't been a default and they go ahead and take a deed in lieu while you're making payments, and then you, after you convey through the deed in lieu, you stop making payments, there's never been a default, then really there'd be a non-event with regard to your credit report.
And back to a short sale for just a minute, Lockwood. I think that that was well explained, but let me just put it a little bit different way. I mean, obviously, Wes used the example of a $200,000 debt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
$200,000 note, right. $200,000 mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
But the property is only now worth $160,000. Right. So clearly, the buyer is not going to pay more than $160,000.
Right.
Well, if the lender will not release their mortgage for $160,000, and market paid and satisfied,
mm-hmm.
and take a $40,000 loss
right.
on their note, then they potentially are going to have to go the full gamut of a foreclosure anyway and maybe not get anything.
Right.
Okay? You follow?
Okay.
So that's the bank has a whole department, if you will, that analyzes these deals. We'd rather take $160,000 was what we were using. We'd rather take $160,000 now today
right.
than wait and hope to get $200,000 whenever. Okay. That's kind of from the bank's perspective.
So they're looking at the marketability of the structure of the property,
right,
the
right.
home.
Because they have to mark their note, as Wes was saying, you know, paid and satisfied, because the buyer had nothing to do with that $200,000
gotcha.
Mortgage. They're wanting free and clear title.
That's right.
They may even be putting into place their own $140,000 mortgage on their $160,000 property.
Good point.
Right.
All right. Let's talk legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. We'll wrap things up here in just a moment. The right advice at the right time. We're talking foreclosures and liens with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins here on Let's Talk Legal as we wrap things up. The issue here I'm hearing is that two things. One, there's a new structure out there. There's a new awareness. The panic of 2005, 2012, that period has
right.
gone away. But also I'm hearing there is a sense of, if you will, communications. You can communicate with the lenders. And insofar as these things related to foreclosures and deed in lieu of, one more time.
Deed in lieu of foreclosure,
foreclosure,
sure.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, that door is open. I mean, I would say that, you know, when you're dealing with a foreclosure issue as a borrower and you feel as though that maybe things are getting tight and you're not going to be able to make payments, I would advise, you know, for folks to sit down with an attorney early on and just get some simple 30-minute advice about what to do at that point in time. And that most attorneys will sit down with you and even give you some free advice for that short amount of time, because there's a lot of pitfalls. I mean, there are a lot of issues that we haven't even gotten into yet, you know, on the program that folks need to be careful about when they're talking about potentially either doing a deed in lieu of foreclosure or stopping the payments or trying to do a short sale. And really you need someone who is, you know, who has expertise in these areas, who's an attorney, you know, to help walk you through that process. So don't wait too late to do that also. And don't just stop making payments and then hold your breath. You're better off to have some competent legal counsel early on. I mean, I've had multiple cases over the past 5, 6, 7 years where if the client had gotten to me earlier, I could have done so much more for the client, but because the client got to me late, what I can do for the client is much more limited. That's one of the first things that we look at. You know, where are we in this stage of a foreclosure? Have you just gotten a default letter, or has the hearing already taken place, or have you already gotten the notice of sale, or has the sale already taken place? Where are we in this? And, you know, a lot of folks out there, I've heard these stories that loan servicers tell borrowers things like, don't hire an attorney, because if you hire an attorney, then I can't talk with you anymore and I won't help you. Now, this is just what's being fed back to me from folks out there. You should not listen to that. That should ring to you, go hire an attorney if someone is telling you that.
Lockwood, right? The law is similar to medicine. Early diagnosis,
yeah.
You know, if clients will just seek out legal advice early on, no matter what the problem is. This is all across the board. Estates, debtor, creditor, any area of the law, seek advice early on.
The right advice at the right time, of course, Harvell and Collins. By the way, website harvellandcollins.com, where this program will be re-aired. The number, 252 area code, 726-9050. That's 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street.